The Apostle Paul addresses his letters to the Romans, and he addresses them in this way. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. In verse 6, he talks about how he and his colleagues are seeking to bring about this faith among all nations, from every tribe and nation of the earth. But we should begin with an example from North America, since we are just one nation among those many nations that the gospel in Romans is directed towards. Just recently, maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago now, you may have heard on the news about a white supremacist who drove through a crowd of anti-fascist protesters in the state of Virginia. And then in response, these anti-fascist protesters threw a riot. And so the riots keep on escalating as people continue to fight and hate one another. When you hear about the increasing violence in the states, you might wonder who is in the right, or you might go and pick a side. Now, this act of driving through a crowd of protesters was a despicable and a wicked deed. But I'm sure this supremacist felt right and even justified in doing this thing. He probably felt good about it, something that he thought needed to be done. He might call it self-defense, or be taking justice into his own hands against criminal actions done to him and his friends. And isn't this the deepest problem in the heart of mankind? We feel righteous in our sin. We feel like we're good, like we're doing the right thing, and yet we feel horrible. We can see the results of sin all around, and even among us in the church. This example that I just mentioned is just one example of how our world is full of broken relationships. Without Christ, we spend our days hating one another and being hated by one another. And either we respond with self-righteousness, we say, I'm good, or we respond with wickedness or unrighteousness. The unrighteousness or the wickedness would say, well, there is really no point in trying to be good, and it is impossible to be good, so why even try? The self-righteousness, the proud response, would be to say, hey, at least I'm better than the guy over there. I might get drunk every weekend, but at least I'm not doing drugs like the person in that church over there. I might look at pornography, but at least I'm not sleeping around. This is the height of self-righteousness. The Apostle Paul speaks to the people of Rome. Many of these people have left old lives of wickedness and entered the Young Christian Fellowship in Rome, which means that many of these people have been forgiven from some serious sins. He speaks to a culture which is full of the worship of money, drinking parties, open and shameless acts of homosexuality, and basically every filthy deed of godlessness and wickedness that exists. Sounds kind of like Canada. And yet, the Apostle Paul doesn't begin Romans 1 by calling down the wrath of God. Often we begin with verses 18 to 36 and talk about the wrath of God, but there is verses 1 to 17 first, because he's talking about grace. He's talking about a good news that is entering into this culture. He talks about the possibility for this wicked culture to become good in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is not ashamed of this good news. Something is happening in Romans 1 that must shake the very foundations of our world. He is speaking about a power and a righteousness that is God's and that is yours by faith. This is the good news found by faith in Jesus Christ. In the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul boldly speaks of the good news to the church in Rome. This is the theme. The good news of Christ has been revealed. And we'll see two things in verses 16 and 17. In verse 16, we'll see that this good news is the power of God. And then in verse 17, we'll see that it is the righteousness of God. So beginning with the power of God. This gospel is the power of God. It is not the power of man. Think about the way our world tries to express power in politics and wars, with pride, with might, beating down our enemies. But it is not this kind of power that we're talking about. It is not the power of Paul either. It is not the power of the preacher who steps up into the pulpit to declare God's word. No, that would be giving God's power to a sinful man. Every man who announces this word, every Christian, is under an authority that is outside of him or her. This power is of God, and this is why Paul is able to preach this word with the boldness and the fire that he does throughout the book of Romans. If you stop and read through Romans slowly, you'll see his passion for this word. This is why you can tell your neighbor that salvation is found in Jesus Christ without pride and without embarrassment. This word is not from the messenger, but it is from God and his Son, Jesus Christ. It is worked in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. But notice that Romans 1 verse 16 says that this good news is for salvation. Now, what does salvation mean? Salvation means that you have been delivered. It is a joyful cry of freedom. To be delivered means that you have to be delivered from something. The Apostle Paul talks about this in verse 18, where he says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." The good news is that Jesus entered into our world to deliver us from the wrath of God, the wrath of his Father against all the godlessness and wickedness among men, which also means that by way of rights, we're also freed from these godless and wicked acts. Jesus has entered this world as the perfect man to save you from all your godlessness and wickedness, because without his grace, you will also suppress the truth in wickedness. When you come to Jesus Christ, the Father tells you, you are saved by Jesus Christ. But recognize in verse 16 that the Apostle Paul goes further to say that it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I want to focus on this word, everyone. The gospel has the power of dynamite to destroy sin and to bring about new life among his people. It sets off a powerful explosion of God's goodness in the darkest life stained by sin and grief. You may feel crushed under the weight of your sins, or the pain of life, or the sinful decisions you have made, or the sinful things that have been done to you. You may know of somebody at work who you assume that there is absolutely no hope for, and then all of a sudden you'll be surprised. Your mind will be blown when you see the power of the Spirit take over their life by storm and set off the dynamite of gospel life to the reality of this good news that is found in Jesus Christ. This is what the Word is saying. And we have to take God's word at face value rather than trying to quantify, qualify, and set limits on what it says. It is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. So anyone who believes in the name of the Son of God can experience this power. It is the power of God for the lying politician who believes, for the ISIS fighter who believes, for the abused porn star who believes, for the hardened church member who believes, for the apathetic person who comes to believe in Jesus Christ and experience the power of God in his or her life. It is for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. The Apostle Paul's missionary tactics were to go into the teaching places of the Jews first. This was his base for bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, or the people in every nation of the earth. The Apostle Paul says in verse 13 and 14, he says here, "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome." In verse 15 and 16 of Acts 9, Paul is sent out by God himself. And there in Acts 9 we read these words, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, all the peoples of the earth, kings, those in power, and the children of Israel, those who are part of God's covenantal community. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Paul's mission was to bring the gospel to all men, to fulfill the promise in Acts 1 verse 11 that the gospel would really go to the ends of the earth. We, as well in Hamilton, have many opportunities to challenge the culture of our day with this gospel that we find in the book of Romans. But it begins by believing this gospel ourselves. It is easy to find ourselves weighed down by our sins and to go and look down on the sins of others. Even as believers, we often find ourselves going back and forth between these two points. This interaction with our culture begins by not being ashamed of the gospel, because we have really seen its power in our lives. This is the good news of Christ that Paul is telling us about. It is the power of God. It is for everyone who believes. You are able to live with the deepest thanksgiving because you have been saved by a power that is not your own. Maybe you have been in the church for many years and you still don't believe this gospel. But remember the words that this gospel is the power of God for anyone who believes. That means anyone is welcome to come and believe in the name of the Son of God. The Apostle Paul was considered to be the most righteous. He obeyed the law before Jesus, the light of Jesus, knocked him flat on the road to Damascus as he was persecuting the followers of Christ. He knew the Bible. He knew the Old Testament, the law of the Torah, but he didn't know Christ. The Apostle Paul confesses the power of the gospel of Christ in his life in Philippians 3, verse 9 to 10. He says, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God, which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." And this brings us to something else about this gospel. We also see that this gospel is the righteousness of God. In verse 17, the word for righteousness in verse 17 can also mean justice. God is a God of justice because he is righteous. There is no darkness in him. His word is the standard. But recognize the qualifier here. This righteousness is not your righteousness or my righteousness. This righteousness is the righteousness of God. This righteousness stands in opposition to the wickedness and unrighteousness among men. We know this because we see in the next verse, in verse 18, that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth in their wickedness. We know this because the wrath of God has been revealed against all ungodliness and wickedness. But this righteousness also stands in opposition to the feeling that I'm good, that I'm righteous in myself, that I can earn my own salvation. As we learn in Romans 3:23, we can just turn a couple pages over to verse 23. There we read, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Men have sinned. We're all under the wrath of God. So God's wrath is revealed against all the wickedness of man, and we cannot say that we escape this wrath because we know that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But Romans 3, verse 21 to 22, right before this verse, restates the thesis of Romans 1, verse 17. And these are powerful words once again. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The law and the prophets is the Old Testament. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. This is how you can escape the wrath of God. When you come to worship God at church and you run to take shelter from his anger against your sins under the cross, under the forgiving blood of Jesus Christ, then you will find that you are righteous, that you can have that peace, you can have that righteousness that is by faith alone. This righteousness has been revealed. It has been uncovered. The gift box has been opened. Our eyes have beheld this glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father. The righteousness of God was nailed to the cross so that we could become the righteousness of God in his place. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, the Apostle Paul leads us to this line of logic once again. He says, "Now then, we are ambassadors," that means he's on a mission, "for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, we beg you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled, be at peace with God. For he who made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So Jesus, who was perfect, he was perfectly good, he was not under the wrath of God, went under the wrath of God so that we could be freed from God's wrath. You have seen the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And so run from your path of unrighteousness, from your path of pride and self-righteousness, and pursue that righteousness of God that is found in Jesus Christ. This is why the Apostle Paul pleads with the church in Rome and the church in Corinth and the church in Ephesus. The Apostle Paul also pleads with the church in Hamilton. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be at peace with God. This righteousness is that has been revealed is by faith from first to last. Paul failed when he tried to live by the law because he could still not measure up to the glory of God. The call had always been to live by faith, and this call had been revealed in Jesus. Paul quotes the Old Testament in this passage. These words, "The righteous will live by faith," come right from Habakkuk 2, verse 4, where we read, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." The just shall live by faith. This is an Old Testament call. The just shall live by faith. We have just heard that this good news is the power of God and that it is also the righteousness of God. The object, or the focus, what we're looking at in this faith is the God who sends us this power and this righteousness. The call of the gospel challenges my pride and calls me to faith in Jesus Christ. All my good deeds are nothing apart from him. They are nothing apart from this faith that is in Jesus Christ, this righteousness that is from God. When you come to the cross of Jesus Christ, there you will see the righteousness of God. There you will see the way to resurrection from your self-righteous pride and from your wickedness. This is why the cross of Jesus Christ is so glorious, because it's a word of freedom to anyone. It is a word of gospel power to anyone. There is something radical happening here. We often talk about the doctrine of justification by faith. But this doctrine is not intended to simply be an intellectual agreement of the head with some dry and abstract truth that should be debated to death in the halls of academic institutions. No, the doctrine of justification by faith is a real and a genuine experience with Jesus Christ. Paul didn't get knocked to the ground on the way to Damascus just to get up again and to keep on attacking the followers of Christ. No, instead, his message was completely transformed. He declared the good news of Jesus Christ. His life was radically changed. And this is why he declares later in Romans 6, verse 5 to 6. He says here in Romans 6, verse 5 to 6, just a couple passages later, "If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin." There's a change. Paul still struggles with sin, but sin is no longer in control because he has really seen the power and the righteousness of God at work in his life. This righteousness is of God, is revealed to you every time you hear the word on Sunday morning and afternoon, and also when you read your Bible or you talk to Christian friends about the word. The righteousness of God is revealed to you when you open your Bibles in your house and you search the scriptures, or you open the Bibles in Bible studies and search the scriptures. There are moral commands in Christianity, but this is why we can say that when you believe, you are not ultimately coming to a moral system. Christianity is not just simply a moral system. You are coming to Jesus Christ, and when you come to the cross of Jesus Christ, God's righteousness is at war with your sinful nature. It sets you at odds. It pits you against your sinful nature because you're so thankful for the freedom that is found in Christ. But this passage also challenges us to engage with the culture of Hamilton, to engage it with the gospel. Often, the comments of Christians are ones of despair when we look at the world around us. And there definitely is a lot of reason to despair. Politicians and the intellectuals have rejected Christian principles altogether. Weird sexual principles are being forced on the public schools. Crime, bullying, and rape are on the rise. And people just simply don't care about God. But Romans presents hope for those who are under God's wrath. For Hamilton, for Ontario, and for Canada, and for the world, ultimately. The righteousness of God has been uncovered. It's been revealed for our eyes to see. We must respond to our culture with the gospel. But we recognize that this gospel is the power and the righteousness of God. We can go to university, and we can sharpen our academic tools. We can be clear and unashamed of our faith when we're hanging out with guys from work or friends from work. Why? Because we know the gospel is the power of God and it is the righteousness of God. It's not up to us to change people. It's God who does this. We know the gospel is the power of God and it is the righteousness of God. All men are called to believe in Jesus Christ. And this is why Paul begins Romans by saying, he says, that grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. So the call is to bring this grace and to disciple the nations to the obedience to the faith. You have heard the gospel of Christ has been revealed. You have seen that Paul describes this gospel as the very power and the righteousness of God. It is good news, because you know that you are not saved by your own power or your own righteousness. It really is good news, because you have found this verdict of deliverance in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he sent his only beloved Son, so that anyone who will believe in him will have everlasting life. Our culture is under the wrath of God. Without Christ, we are also under the wrath of God. But God sent his Son so that those who believe in him might be freed or delivered or redeemed from this wrath, so that they might no longer be under wrath, but so that they might be transformed by his power and his righteousness. The gospel dynamite has exploded in our culture of wickedness and debauchery. And why is this? Because the power and the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ has come into our sin-shocked world. This is the good news concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Let's pray.